It's time for Investing in Truth with Brad Graber, our financial planner. We're going to talk about four ways money can change you. Hey, Brad, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Doing very well.
Yeah. You know, money is something that is so often misunderstood in the scriptures, Brad, you know, and that's why I think it's really super important that we're doing these things. But, you know, finances can absolutely change us because even though, I mean, it seems like second nature for us to just wish that we had more money, you know, for whatever it is that we need. It's our own needs. God provides for our own needs, but we also want to give things away and we want to be a part of the kingdom and give to others. But we get caught up thinking that money is just going to solve all of our problems and it can maybe change things, but that's not how it changes us, really not for the better. So how are some of the ways that money can change us, Brad?
Well, one of the first big ways is that it can cause us to start to become self-reliant or to rely on ourselves instead of relying on God. And I love this quote from D.L. Moody. He said, "We can stand affliction better than we can stand prosperity, for in prosperity we forget God." And, I mean, how much truth is there as we're trying to live out the Christian life? Because when we have struggles, when we have needs, what do? We turn to God. Our prayer life is typically more faithful when we're in need. And as we stop worrying about things or as we hit these times of prosperity and we feel like everything is in order, we can start to feel that self-reliance. And the next thing we know, our prayer life is slipping and we forget exactly how much we're dependent on God to be our ultimate provider. And we see this in Scripture too. God in Deuteronomy warned the Israelites before they went into the Promised Land. He said, well, he knew that for the last 40 years, they'd been depending on him for every meal. So they became very dependent. But he knew they were going into this land flowing with milk and honey. And he said, don't forget the Lord your God. So he knew that prosperity would give them the tendency or that temptation to forget him as the ultimate provider. And one of our best gauges of where our heart stands in this is to just reflect on how thankful we are. Are we pausing to thank God in our times of prosperity, or are we tending to forget him? And it's just so easy to do, and we may even find ourselves complaining when in our prosperity everything didn't go exactly as we had planned. And in our luxury situation, even we're not worried about where the next meal comes from. We're just mad because it wasn't the right temperature or maybe something wasn't exactly perfect, and we start to lose out even on the simple pleasures in life. And like I said, we forget that dependency on God and that thankfulness for everything he's provided for us.
Well, and you said, too, that money can make us discontent. I mean, that just rolls right into that. And contentment is a huge thing. And we are to be content in Christ. But money, if we're not careful, can wreck all that. Talk about that, Brad.
That's right. They would say money can't buy happiness, but I would argue that money can buy unhappiness. And contentment is so hard to find, and we often look for contentment in the wrong places. It's like we said at the very beginning that we feel like if we just had a little more, that then we'll be content. And it couldn't be further from the truth. And our happiness, what we find out is has very little correlation to our circumstances. And so what we should be doing is trying to mirror Paul's attitude, where he said in Philippians 4 that he's learned to be content whatever the circumstances. So we shouldn't be looking to and dependent on changing our circumstances to make us happy or to make us content. We should be looking at how can we be content and be satisfied with where God has us at any point in time, regardless of what that circumstance is. And as we have more money, we're more likely to actually be discontent. For a lot of us, we may have finally found that point of contentment in our current situation, and part of that is because we don't have a lot of choices. There may be things we want, but we can't necessarily afford, and we just find ourselves content with whatever that situation is. But what happens is if we get more money, then it opens up that possibility of things we could be tempted by, and suddenly we're not as content with that simple lifestyle. We realize that, well, we weren't really content then. We just couldn't afford more. So we had limited options, and now that we can afford more things, now we're less content. We can't go back to that lifestyle we had before that we thought we were satisfied with because that realm of options has opened up to us, and we're not as satisfied anymore.
Well, that unsatisfaction, right? The flip side of that coin is complete satisfaction with ourselves, and that can certainly make us proud. And that is one of the things that we have to be so cautious of, because if we're not remembering that God is the one who is providing to us, that He is creating those circumstances, we can think that it's us who is responsible for that. So how does money perhaps make us proud, Brad?
Pride is such a huge danger when it comes to money, and it can change the way we view ourselves, and it can also change the way that we view others. And unfortunately, in our society, money is often used as a scorecard. And when we look at ourselves, we can become prideful when we're not in a needy situation, when we're actually in that prosperous situation, because we believe that we did something to deserve it. And instead of looking and remembering that God is sovereign, God makes both the rich and the poor, so He's the one that put us in that position, we think that we did it. And that's where pride can start to puff us up. And then on the flip side, in the way that we look at others. So when we start to be proud about ourselves and we're considering money and finance as a scorecard, we can look down on others who aren't in the financially prosperous situation that we may find ourselves. And it's not hard to see examples of this. We can look at situations like in the service industry. And it always bothers me when I see people and the way that they treat people that are either waiters or custodians or people like that, that they view as socially below them or financially below them, and they feel entitled to the service that person, that they feel that person owes them. And if we find ourselves ever looking down on somebody else and feeling like we are more important than they are, then we've lost how God is viewing and how God, the image of God that's portrayed on everybody and how we're all made in His image. And we really need to step back, repent, and remember that money is not the scorecard.
Mm-hmm. And this one is scary too, Brad. Your final point here for the morning, money can open you to temptation and addictions.
Yeah, it's so easy to be judgmental on the way that other people choose to spend their money, especially the wealthy. So as I was just looking through stories, one example that I saw was that one time Bono paid $1,500 for a first class plane ticket so that he could set his hat in that seat. And it's so easy to think that that's just absolutely ridiculous and wasteful spending, but we're not in the position where we could have ever afforded that luxury. So we don't know what kind of temptations we would face if we had that kind of money and if we were in that situation. So we have to be really careful there. And where I go back to on this is, think of what a blessing is. A blessing is something that brings us closer to God. And if not having as much money takes away some of these spending temptations, then that is truly a blessing. And if we have more, and that causes us to be overwhelmed with a lot of temptations that would ultimately lead us farther away from God, then that means that more money is simply not a blessing. So we need to kind of change that paradigm. And John Wesley had a great mindset on this, and let me just read a quick quote from him. He says, "Money never stays with me. It would burn me if it did. I throw it out of my hands as soon as possible, lest it should find its way into my heart." He was a man that understood the dangers that money presented. So instead of wrestling with temptation and trying to figure out how he could take money and win the battle, he voluntarily chose to avoid it. So just like Joseph running from Potiphar's wife and running from that temptation of sin, that's exactly what John Wesley did with money, because he knew that it was going to be too much of a battle, too much of a temptation. So he chose not to fight it at all.
Well, sometimes we have to do that, right? We've got to put some guardrails in our life. We have to be aware of the things that we are ourselves possibly tempted by, because there are people who can handle money. They can handle it godly. They can handle it biblically. They can handle it, you know, in a manner in which it is doing all sorts of great things for the kingdom. But sometimes if that's put into the hands of someone else, they may squander that away. But yet the person who handles money well, they may be fallen to other sins. And so this is such an important reminder that we are aware of the things that tempt us, because it's not just money. It's status. It is sex. It is our position and power in our job and things of that nature that can really pull us into it. But money is one of those big tempters, right, Kelly?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that quote from Wesley, by the way, Brad.
Yeah.
That is powerful.
It is awesome.
Yeah, and that's why it's so important to refer back to your point, Steve, of what's a blessing. is this thing that I'm struggling with right now, or I shouldn't say struggling, but this thing that I'm going through, is it bringing me closer to God or farther from God? Yeah. And if money is taking you farther from God, then it's time to change.